Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message today is, would you read it with me? Homesick for Heaven, based on the last phrase of David's 23rd Psalm, verse 6, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I invite you to turn in your worship handout to the back of that handout. Follow along, if you would care to, with the sermon outline as we consider our theme, Homesick for Heaven. It was 13 years ago when I first met a furry, four-legged ball of energy, an energy-filled dog who would soon become a beloved part of my household. He was a border collie, a black and white sheepdog named Blade. I had long wanted an active dog to run with me on my 10 and 20 kilometer runs. I wanted somebody to play ball with. Finally, it was a good time in my life to get such a dog. I went to an animal shelter when we lived in Edmondson. An animal shelter that housed abandoned animals. And as soon as I saw this border collie, my heart melted. He had been left at the shelter by people who wanted him no longer. There he was in a cage, all alone, head down, sad eyes. But when his sad eyes met mine, they said clearly to me, will you save me? Will you take me? Will you make me a part of your home? And will you love me for the rest of my life? Well, the animal shelter people let me take him out for, I would call, a test drive. I wanted to find out if he would be a good dog on a leash to accompany me on my long runs. And he was great. I soon took him home. And I brought him to his new and lasting home. Blade the border collie was never to be homesick again. He was safe and he was secure in his master's home. My friends, much the same thing can be said about you and me. We are being prepared for our master's house. We don't know the departure date, but we do know that this life, are you listening? This life is not all that there is. Blade wasn't made to live in an animal shelter. We were not made to live the short 70 or 80 or even 90 years we have on this earth. We were made for eternity. We were made to dwell in our master's house forever. Isn't that the final promise of David's 23rd Psalm? And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord's heavenly house is your forever house, George. The Lord's house is your forever house, Harold. And if his house is your forever house, what does that make this house? What does it make this life? You've got it. It's just short-term housing. It's just rental property. This life is not our home. Philippians 3:20 tells us our citizenship is in heaven. And an old gospel song put it this way, I am but a stranger here. You know how it ends? Heaven is my home. My friends, that explains the homesickness that so often we feel. Once in a while in your life, when life is challenging, when your heart is heavy, when you feel beat up and you're tired of the struggle, do you ever just want to be at home with your Lord in heaven? Your loved one died. Your marriage is really struggling. The news you got from the doctor wasn't good. Someone really broke your heart. Your work now is much more pain than it's really pleasure. Your loneliness is more than you can bear sometimes. Life is just plain tough, and you cry out, Lord, I am tired of this sinful world. This is not where I belong. I'm tired of disappointment. I'm tired of death. I am tired of disease. I feel so far from home. Do you know what? That feeling is not all bad. Homesickness is a reality, especially for the Christian, because we know we're not home yet. We know that this sinful, fallen world is not all that there is. God has something better for us. Now, this life does have its joys and blessings. It surely does. This life is a gift from God every day of it, and He has a purpose for you being here. This life is okay, but it's not our final destination. It's not our master's house. It's really not home. And we, like a certain parakeet from Green Bay, Wisconsin, we know we're not home yet. When I first read the story about a parakeet named Pootsie, I admit I laughed out loud. She escaped from her owner in Green Bay, Wisconsin, and she finally found her new home in the keeping of an animal shelter. And when nobody else claimed her, a dear woman named Sue Gleason did. Sue, who lived all by herself, adopted Pootsie, the parakeet. And they really hit it off. They became fast friends. She enjoyed the bird's company, the bird enjoyed her company. But one day, this little bird did something I find quite incredible. It flew over to Mrs. Gleason, landed on her shoulder, gently put its beak in her ear and whispered, 1500 South Oneida Street, Green Bay. Mrs. Gleason was dumbfounded. She did some research and discovered that address really existed in Green Bay, Wisconsin. She went to the house, knocked on the door, and found a man there by the name of John Strubant, a 79-year-old man, all by himself. Do you have a parakeet? Mrs. Gleason asked. He said, I used her. Her name was Pootsie. This is her home, but she flew away. I miss her terribly. When he went to Mrs. Gleason's car and saw Pootsie, he was thrilled. And the bird was thrilled, chirping and singing, flying circles all over this cage. The homecoming was wonderful. Mr. Strubant laughed and said, you know what? Pootsie not only knows her address, she also knows her home phone number. Pootsie, you see, was fine with Mrs. Gleason. But she knew she didn't belong there. She knew she had a real home. My friends, this story is not as crazy as you might think. Because you have an eternal address fixed in your mind and your heart. In the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 11, this is what the holy writer says. God has set, He has written eternity into the hearts of men. Down deep, you know you're not home yet. So be careful not to act like you are. Let me ask you, would you hang your favorite family pictures on the wall of a Greyhound bus? Would you set up your bedside at a roadside rest stop? Would you lug on your back your queen-size bed on the next airplane flight you took? Of course you wouldn't. Why? Because you know that that bus stop, that rest stop, that airplane are not your home. Well, why then would you treat this world like your home? Why would you allow the values and priorities of this world to overshadow and even so consume your life that you lose sight of your real home in heaven? Why would you or I or our families not make matters of God and eternity and our relationship with God the most important thing in our life? Why would we allow worldly values and busyness to push eternal matters out of our hearts? Why? Because the devil, our own sinful natures, and this sinful world around us are trying to convince us to feel at home here in this life. To live like everybody else around us. To be too distracted or busy to consider what is really lasting and important. To forget our eternal home. To set up our bed in an animal cage in the shelter. And call this temporary address our only home. A real problem for us is to feel right at home when we're not. God wants each of us to hold less tightly onto the things of this world. God wants to stir up within each of our hearts a longing for our home in heaven. God's home, our real home, is a forever home. What did David say? And say it with me. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As I sat in my church office to write this sermon, believe it or not, it suddenly dawned on me. I'm 59 years old, heading to 60. I'm a lot closer to 90 than I am to 19. I'm patting myself less on the back and more on the belly. I'm seeing the doctor more often these days for all kinds of things. I realize my last game of university baseball was 38 years ago. I'm still going for my daily runs, but the speed is not the same and the distance is not the same. I believe it's time for a stronger pair of glasses. This next one's going to make you chuckle. I find myself telling a story to somebody, only to realize halfway telling it, they've already heard it. Probably a number of times. Can any of you relate? Aging. We're all doing it. No use denying it. St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:50, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. What does that mean? We'll all age. We will die. Our perishable flesh and blood and this earthly life will not go on forever. Unless Jesus returns soon and brings the end of the world, we will have to die before we inherit our eternal home in heaven. Now let me ask you this important question. It's one of the key questions of this sermon. Might it be that aging is a way that God keeps us heading homeward to remind us that this body and this life must pass away before our real life begins? What if we looked at our aging body the way we looked at the growth of a tulip? A few weeks ago, I took my dear Beverly for the first time to Laconia, Washington, right across the border to see the acres and acres of those beautiful, bright tulip fields. Who here has ever done that? Oh, my goodness sakes. If you haven't made the trip, it's not too late this year to do it. People don't mourn or feel grief over the passing of a tulip bulb. It must weaken and be planted in the ground so that it can spring up and blossom and show forth what that bulb is all about. This beautiful, colorful flower. Tulip lovers rejoice when the bulb weakens and passes away so that the flower can come forth. Watch that one, they say. That one's about ready to blossom. Could it be that heaven does much the same thing? Could it be the angels point to our bodies as they weaken or grow older and frail and say, watch that lady in the hospital. She's about ready to blossom. Keep an eye on that fellow over there with the bad heart. He'll be coming home soon. A paraphrase of Romans 8, verse 23 says this. We are waiting for God to finish making us His own children, which means our bodies will be made free. Dear Lord, help us all to see life's pains and heartaches, and also see aging and wrinkles in a whole new light, in a much different way. Help us to see them as a reminder that this is not our true and final home. This is not our forever house. Now, it'll do for the time being, but there will be nothing like the moment. Nothing like the moment when we enter the house, enter the door of our Father's house in heaven forever. Revelation 21 says this about that heavenly home. The dwelling place of God will be with His people. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no longer any death, no longer any mourning, no longer any crying or pain. The former things have passed away. Behold, He will make everything new. At the beginning of today's sermon, I told you about my beloved border collie, Blade. Well, not long after he became a part of our family, he got upset about something, and he ran away. We lived in rural Alberta, outside of Leduc. It was in the sticks. He could have gone anywhere. I drove my car up and down the dirty, gravel, dusty roads, no pavement. I went out into farmers' fields, newly planted. I hiked into an open nearby bushland with wooded trails, and I walked. I loved that dog. I looked for him high and low. I was saddened by the possibility he might be lost or injured or even worse. But one beautiful evening, suddenly there he was at the back door of the house. I whooped and I hollered and I playfully chased him around the yard. The neighbors who were not too far away might have thought I was crazy, but I didn't care. He was home where he belonged. That event just pops with symbolism. Our Master, our Lord, leaving His heavenly house looking for us. Jesus giving up the glories of heaven, as Scripture says, to seek and save those who are lost. Jesus going all the way to the cross to pay for the eternal lostness of sin and death and the grave and hell. Jesus dying to pay for our sin and lostness. Jesus rising from death to open up to us the doors of life everlasting in His Father's house forever. And one day, by God's grace, and am I talking about you? Yes, I am. One day, by God's grace, Jesus meeting us at heaven's doors with these words, "Margaret, dear child, welcome home. Dear Harold, I've got a place all prepared for you." Jesus, your own master, Herb, with His nail-scarred hands, Frank, wiping every tear from your eyes. And you with humble and simple faith, speaking the words with which David ends his 23rd Psalm. "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." In the name of Jesus. Amen.